in his hand and turned Nick's head so that he could examine him carefully.
You look the same, but you're different. I can feel it in my gut. You're more powerful than you were before. Where did you go?
Hell, Nick said, bitterly.
Caleb started to roll his eyes, then caught himself as if he realized Nick wasn't being a smartass for once. He let go of him immediately.
You mean Helheim?
You know it?
Not personally, but I've met a few of its residents over the centuries. Wonderful creatures, if you don't mind lunatics and serial killers.
Yeah, definitely not a place I'd recommend for a vacation, unless you're into gruesome and royally screwed up.
Kind of like high school, only colder.
Caleb ignored that last bit. Why were you there?
Hell had me nicknapped so that she could use me as a bargaining chip. Good to be me, eh?
Caleb ignored his thick sarcasm.
With whom was she bargaining?
I don't know, she didn't say, and I wasn't there long enough to find out. I figured it didn't matter who wanted me, it was better to get away and think about the other later.
Caleb laughed.
Wise choice. But how did you get free? And don't you dare tell me it was because you're too cute to keep.
He'd been around him too long when he started knowing Nick's stock sarcastic retorts, but Caleb was right, they didn't have time to waste on it.
One of her servants let me go.
Caleb frowned.
Why would he do that?
I really don't know. Didn't care. Wanted to get home, but if I had to guess, I think it was more an act of defiance on his part to get back at her and to piss her off.
He laughed.
Then he must have been a demon.
Why?
Nick asked.
We're the only ones stupid and strong enough to defy our master so blatantly.
That explained a lot about Nick's congenital birth defect, smartmouthitis. Thanks, Dad.
You might be interested to know he was the same Loup-Garou who attacked us earlier on Royal.
Both of Caleb's eyebrows shot up as his face drained of all color.
I wasn't attacked by a Loup-Garou, Nick. That I would have killed. What I fought was an Aemon.
Just what Nick loved most, more vocabulary to learn, and unlike the crap from school, not knowing these words could get him killed. A what?
One of the first and highest order of warrior demons.
That didn't sound good. As in, one of the few who can kick your ass? Caleb gestured toward the bruises on his face and neck that said the wolf had cleaned the street with him.
I assumed he was after your father's powers. I had no idea someone had sent him to kidnap you. Did he give you his name?
No. He said he couldn't remember it.
What do you mean?
Nick shrugged with a nonchalance he didn't feel.
From what I gathered, he's been locked in hell for a number of centuries. And I think they cockfight him. But the only thing I know for certain is that they don't hold him with any kind of regard. They have him tied down like a rabid animal and treat him like one.
He saw his own horror mirrored in Caleb's eyes, and while Caleb hadn't seen the abuse, there was something Nick picked up on that said he'd either seen or experienced something very similar in his past.
I can't believe you stumbled onto an Aemon.
A tick worked in Caleb's jaw.
They're even less people and demon-friendly than a Malachi. And there weren't that many of them to begin with, and even fewer of them who could still be alive today. Amazing.
I'm assuming from your tone of voice, they weren't on your side of the war?
No. They were definitely on yours, and I'm lucky I got away from him intact tonight. He must have wanted you badly to let me go before ripping my throat out.
Nick laughed nervously. It was so much fun being the brass ring for hell monkeys and jerks. Here lately, everybody does. Except for supermodels and hot babes. Dang, if he had to be pursued and locked up, couldn't it at least be by people he wanted chasing him? Women whose beds he wouldn't mind being chained to for eternity?
Ah, well.
Life sucked, and then they billed you for it. Kind of like how airlines charged you money before you got on a plane, so that in the event they screwed up and killed you, they were already paid, and they wouldn't have to give you a refund. Nick sighed, then jerked his chin to the mess in his house. So what happened here? Where's my mom?
Caleb visibly cringed.
You know as much as I do.
And he should have cringed for giving that answer. Nick's vision darkened as his fury coursed through him and demanded Caleb's heart for not protecting his mother. What have you been doing while I was gone?
His lip curling, Caleb raked him with a sneer. Watching soap operas and picking my belly lint out of my toes. What the hell do you think I've been doing? I was making preparations to keep your sorry butt alive.
And to the devil with my mother and her safety?
Yeah, Nick, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Caleb's voice dripped with sarcasm, because I knew just how unhinged my lack of action would make you. My whole entire thinking process was how I could piss you off and make you go Malachi sooner rather than later. Oh man, you so busted me.
With a grin that should be worn by a psychotic clown, Caleb clapped him on the back.
So tell me, Nick, did my brilliant thinking work? You better be glad I don't know how to force choke you.
Caleb actually took a whole step back from him. His anger wilted under a wave of actual fear. Now, there was something Nick had never seen on Caleb's face before. At least, not where he was concerned. What happened to you? Nick calmed at the wary note in Caleb's voice. What was he seeing when he looked at him?
I have to find my mother.
And you're the only one who can.
Nick scowled. What do you mean?
It's why I didn't try to find her, Nick. She's been taken out of this realm.
He shot back another step as Nick lunged for him, then turned sideways out of Nick's immediate range. She's not dead. Jeez!
Caleb raised his hands and put an energy shield around himself to keep Nick from beating him. Calm down and listen. She's not my mother. I have no connection to her, which means no way to track her, just as I couldn't track you into Helheim. But now that you're back, we can get her.
Nick smashed his fist against the invisible wall protecting Caleb, who should be on his knees in gratitude that Nick couldn't reach him right now. Swear to me you're not lying.
If I didn't think we could get your mother back alive and whole, I wouldn't be here. I'd be on my way to another hell realm, because I know her death would send you off into a massive piranha-style killing frenzy. And the longer you keep trying to rip my head off, the longer she's staying gone.
That succeeded in calming him.
Okay. How do we find her?
Caleb visibly cringed.
Nick's gut tightened instantly.
What?
Take a deep breath. Ride herd on your temper and don't freak.
Yeah, that really helped his temper. Like a kick in his head and a stomp to his stones.
What? We need help to do this.
The sick knot in his stomach twisted even tighter. I'm seriously not gonna like it. Am I?
Nope. But we have to do it.
Growling deep in his throat, Nick raked his hand through his hair.
Fine. What is it?
Caleb's gaze went over Nick's shoulder to focus on something behind him. Curious and suspicious, Nick turned, then froze. Dressed in a black turtleneck and jeans, Cody stood there, holding a small vial. His stomach shot south as bile went north.
Oh, hell to the no,
Nick snapped as he faced Caleb again. Furious, he gestured toward her.
She's here to kill me. That is your solution? You're like one of those generals who wants to put a house fire out with a nuclear bomb, aren't you?
Nick,
don't you Nick me, Malphus. You're not my mother. I, Nick,
Cody shouted, interrupting him. Enraged over a tone of voice only his mother could get away with using, Nick spun toward her.
What?
She closed the distance between them.
Breathe, she said, with a calmness he couldn't fathom. You have to let go of everything negative inside you. If you want to find your mom, you have to track her with your heart. You can only track her with your heart. Hatred destroys everything it touches. It will never allow you to build any kind of bridge from this realm to whatever one she's been taken to. Your love of her is what will allow you to connect and find her.
He looked back at Caleb.
I don't know how to use those powers, Nick. Like you, I was born from malice. It's what feeds me.
Nick swallowed as he finally brought his emotions under control. For his mom alone, he was willing to trust his enemy.
What do I need to do?
She held her hand out to him. His first impulse was to slap it away and curse her. But his mother was more important to him than his hatred of Cody. Forcing himself to stay calm, he took her warm hand. The sensation of her flesh touching his sent a heated wave through him. He'd forgotten how soft her skin was, how much she smelled like sunshine and roses. Cody smiled up at him. That and her touch succeeded in driving out his hate and anger. The loss of it was so sudden that it left him exhausted, drained. Cody pulled him against her and sank her other hand into his hair. Even though he wanted to hate her for what she'd come to do, he laid his head on her shoulder and allowed her to hold him against her. Ever so slowly, she rocked with him in her arms. "Pax tecum," she whispered in his ear, sending chills all over his body. "Peace be with you." "Et cum spiritu tuo," he responded automatically, "and with your spirit." And when she placed a light, tender kiss to the side of his head, he found a realm of warm serenity that he'd never known before. It was like all was right in the world, like nothing could harm him or upset him. She stroked his back.
"Ora pro nobis."
With those words, a dam inside him burst open. In one instant, he could see the fabric of the entire universe and everything in it. He heard the voices of millions of people who had lived and who were alive. It hit him so hard and fast that, had she not been holding him, he would have fallen. Instead, her strength kept him balanced, while her warmth kept him anchored firmly right here. The ether screamed out as it did any time he tried to access it for information, but where it was normally too overwhelming for him to navigate, tonight he fully understood how to find his way through it all, how to focus until he only heard the one voice he sought. His mother's. And yet he couldn't find her. Nowhere. She was completely silent to him. His anger and panic started mounting, but Cody tightened her arms around him. "Shh." She breathed against his ear.
"Stay calm. Sicut erat in principio, et nunc et semper, et in saecula saeculorum."
As it was in the beginning, it is now, and will be, to the ages of ages. Once more, his anger dissipated. He heard the sounds of horrendous fighting coming hard and fast at him. Afraid for his mother, he followed it, only it wasn't a battle for or about her. He saw himself in his demonic form. His armor glistened in the dull light of a fading sun, while he fought against an army that was determined to destroy every last bit of him and his troops. His soldiers pulled back to protect him, but it was too late. He was about to be defeated. Dumbfounded, he couldn't understand how this had happened. No one had ever equaled him, not even the Sephiroth. He'd killed his archenemy in a matter of minutes, and then he saw his true nemesis, the one who had bled him and his men the most. Their leader emerged from the midst of their number. Drunk on his impending victory, he called out to rally his soldiers and push them forward for the last attack. Nick knew instinctively that if he killed their leader, they would scatter like frightened roaches. The humans would fall. His eyes flashed red, and then the same swirling silver as Asheron's, before he launched himself at the fool who'd left the safe shelter of his army. Focused solely on him, Nick ignored everything else. He came down on top of the leader with his sword raised. Their weapons rang out as they clashed against each other. His enemy rained acid, blood, and fire down on Nick, who used his own powers to drive his enemy back. He met him stroke for violent stroke. To his credit, the man stood strong, and he fought longer than anyone else had ever lasted. The man might have even defeated him, but for one thing. A sudden, feminine cry of pain. His enemy's attention turned from their fight to the smaller soldier several yards away. He kicked Nick back, then ran to her. Assuring him that she was safe, she ordered him to return to their fight. He refused to go. "There is nothing I will not do to protect my family," he said, with a determination so raw it reverberated all the way through the Malachi. Fascinated by it,
Nick watched the leader cradle her in his arms, as if she were unspeakably precious, as if she weighed nothing at all.
He picked her up and carried her, trying to get her far away from the danger. She clung to him as her blood ran down both their armored pieces.
It had been so long since Nick had loved someone like that, that he tried to remember the emotion.
But while he watched the two of them, it ignited his fury. How dare his enemy turn his back when there was a war to be fought? Nick headed for him, dodging through the combatants around him, slaying any who dared to charge his path. Unaware that Nick was coming for him, the soldier handed her off to another of his men. "Get her to safety. Do not let her die." He turned back to fight, but it was too late. Nick was already on him. He stabbed their leader straight through his worthless heart and drove him to the ground, where he planted his enemy with his sword pressed all the way through his weak, human body. His enemy kicked and squirmed, but there was nothing he could do except die. The woman screamed out as she fought against the man holding her. Stunned by it all, the soldier released her. Disregarding all danger, she ran to the fallen soldier.
"No,"
she sobbed over and over again as she exposed his face.
She laid her hand to his cheek and wept as if her entire world had been shattered. He was dead,
and there was nothing she could do. With the battle cry of 1,000 furies, she took the leader's sword and ran at Nick to kill him. He raised his arm and caught her blow, then shot a blast at her that knocked her helmet free. Dazed but undaunted, she jerked her head back to glare at him. A pair of sharp green eyes telegraphed her hatred from a bruised face he knew all too well. Cody. Nick pulled back, wanting to flee a war he didn't want to see anymore. Was it past, or yet to be fought? He didn't have enough control of his powers to know for sure. "I killed what she loved." Turning back to the scene, he looked down at the soldier he'd stabbed, and total shock floored him. He'd killed himself. He was their leader. It was his face. Panic tore through him as he began to hyperventilate from the images that made no sense whatsoever. How could he be both people? Safe in the present, Cody held him fast while her voice continued to offer him comfort and warmth. She laid her cheek against his, her breath teased his ear and electrified his body. He felt his powers sharpen.
"Don't cry, Charisse. I won't let them hurt you."
Still raw from what he'd seen in that last battle, and with his very foundation shaken, Nick jerked at the last thing he expected to hear. His father's bitter tone, promising protection to his mother.
"What the?"
He drifted back from them so that he could identify where they were. Ice-blue walls surrounded them with a shiny surface that cast distorted images all around them. In some ways, it reminded him of a warehouse, but it wasn't the same. He'd never seen anything like it. And after a few seconds, he realized those weren't reflections in the wall. They were demons trying to break through. In the center of the empty room, his mother was terrified and sobbing, while his father walked an angry circle around her, daring the wall demons to try for him. In response, the swarming demons salivated for the elder Malachi's powers. And Nick knew what all of them did. Soon, a Darian would be weak enough to be killed by them. No matter how much fight his father might have, he wouldn't be able to last long against that number. The demons slammed against the cage, simultaneously trying to break it open and drain his father. Nick pulled away from Cody with a jerk. His brain was on lockdown from everything he'd seen, to the point that he couldn't speak.
"Did you find her?"
Cody asked. Dazed, Nick nodded, then looked to Caleb.
"I'm such an effing idiot."
"We knew that," he said dryly. "We definitely didn't have to throw you into a coma for that little known nugget." Nick shoved at him.
"What did you see?"
Cody asked, as their ever-present voice of reason. Nick returned his attention to her.
She's in a place I can't identify. It's like nothing I've ever seen before. It was just a room with demons inside the walls.
He winced as an image of her terrified face cut through him.
I should never have left my mom alone tonight. How selfish am I?
Preoccupation with your own survival isn't selfish, it's human.
And that was what he'd missed most about not having Cody around. She had an incredible knack for taking the sting out of his stupidity. But tonight, he wasn't going to allow her to make him feel better. He didn't deserve it. It was selfish. The only real question is, how do we find her location and get her out?
Caleb crossed his arms over his chest as he pinned a smug look on Cody.
I have an idea. What do you know about summoning an Aemon?
Her expression, said Caleb, had lost his mind.
That it's a really bad idea?
Then I'm out. I got nothing.
Nick gave him a pained, droll stare.
Way to participate, Malphus, thanks.
Cody held her hand up to interrupt them.
There might be another way?
Yeah?
Caleb asked. She smiled at both of them.
We could summon the Malachi.
Caleb scowled.
A Malachi we got.
He pointed to Nick.
I know. And a Malachi can trace those of his kind. Even into another dimension.
Cosmic doorway.
Caleb breathed, then turned his attention to Nick.
I like it.
Nick had no idea what they were talking about, but from the intensity of those stares, he had a feeling it wasn't good, especially not for him. What is a cosmic doorway? Ignoring the question, Cody tapped her finger to her chin as she continued to ponder her suggestion.
It's risky.
Caleb shrugged nonchalantly.
So's living.
Entities, please, Nick said, getting their attention. What are we talking about?
Cody took a deep breath before she explained. Failsafe. The younger Malachi can always go to the elder. There is no place in existence that he can't hide from his son.
Nick finally understood.
So that I can kill him when I come of age.
Cody nodded.
But it's risky. If you're not ready to kill him, he can kill you, and knowing your father, he won't hesitate. Just like in the hospital.
She would bring that up. Not one of his finer moments, by a long shot. Yet in his defense, he'd been unconscious and seriously hurt when his father had come into the room to kill him. Before Kyrian and Asheron had driven him out and saved Nick's life, his father had promised to kill Nick the next time they met.
Let's hear it for paternal concern.
Even so, Nick wasn't so sure about his father's ability to carry out his threat, not so long as his mother was with him. Alone?
Yeah, his dad would be toast if he tried anything.
He cast them a smug grin.
Weird as it sounds, I don't think he's gonna touch me with my mother in the room.
Caleb considered it.
He did back down from the mighty Chihuahua awful fast. Not that I blame him. Charisse is pretty intense when it comes to you.
She was indeed.
So what do we need to do? Nick asked. Cody held her hand out for him to take it. Nick hesitated. She had been sent here to kill him. She'd admitted it. Yet no sooner had that thought gone through his mind than he saw the image of her clutching his dead body in her arms and weeping at his loss. Since he'd been the man fighting by her side in his vision, he knew it couldn't be from her past. Nor did it make sense that it'd be from their future. But even if it was, the future wasn't set in stone. Ambrose had taught him that. Any little thing he did could change it. However, if that vision was a glimpse at his future, in at least one alternate time and place, he and Cody were together. Which meant she wouldn't necessarily kill him in this life this time. Maybe. He glanced to Caleb and remembered what his friend had said about making decisions that made his gut clench. This was definitely one of those times. Hoping he wouldn't live to regret this, Nick took her hand.
When this is done, we need to talk.
Nick, I can't-
Shh, he said, cutting her off. Let's get through this first.
He looked at Caleb.
I might be your boyfriend in school, but I'm not holding your hand.
Ever.
He placed his fist on Nick's shoulder.
Homophobe?
Snotwit.
Nick tisked at him.
Kay, you disappoint me.
Caleb popped him on the back of his head.
Tell him how to do this, Cody, before my hostility escalates.
Think of your father, Nick. Then imagine all of us, together, with him.
Adarian paced the room, trying everything he could to break out. It was useless.
Damn you, Grim, you backstabbing dog.
He should have known better than to ever trust Death. What had he been thinking? But then he knew. Death was supposed to be his ally in all things.
Since when has a Malachi ever had anyone to trust? Are you mad?
It was true. His breed was only known to make enemies, never friends. Everything hated them.
Behind him, Charisse broke into another round of sobs as she huddled on the floor in terror of their situation and the demons who wanted to kill them both. Adarian winced at the sound. Her tears ripped at a heart he hadn't even known he'd possessed until the fateful day when she'd walked past him on the street. He had been on the trail of a demon he wanted to kill and absorb, but that desire had fled the moment her sweet scent hit him. She had been shopping with her friends, whose faces he couldn't recall. They were completely unimportant. His attention had been solely on her. Her blonde hair had been the color of sunlight, and her big blue eyes the same as a perfect sky. But it had been her precious laugh that chipped away the ice inside him. So full of life, so very sweet. She had captured him in an instant and left him helpless against her. He'd been so enamored of her that he'd even enrolled in her school and posed as a student, all so that he could watch her from afar. For over a year, that was all he'd done. Sat in mind-numbing classes just so he could be in the same room with her, like a desperate flower reaching for sunlight through the jagged cracks of a broken wall. He hadn't even tried to converse with her. He hadn't been worthy. And then one day, miraculously, she'd noticed him as he sat behind her in a history class. Every day after that, she'd flounce into the room and talk to him before the bell like he was a normal boy. For the first time in his existence, he'd craved friendship. So he sought her out for no other reason than to laugh with her. He'd meant her no harm. Ever. But because of his lack of human contact and ignorance of their world and customs, he hadn't even realized just how young she was at the time. That it was her naive innocence that lured him when he should have left her alone. Even then, he would never have touched her had she not innocently kissed him. It had been the first time in his centuries of living that anyone had shown him such tenderness, or any tenderness at all. She had opened emotions in him that he'd never known before, that he couldn't understand. Born to kill and destroy, a Malachi was a basic creature. They felt absolutely nothing except total hatred. There was no other anything, just a void. And that wonderful, beautiful kiss. It alone had taught him regret and sadness, misery. To this day, he would give anything if he could take back that afternoon and leave her as pure as he'd found her. In one thoughtless, selfish heartbeat, he'd killed the very thing he loved most.
I am a destroyer.
It was all he'd been born for. And he had destroyed the only woman in the universe that had ever meant anything to him.
Damn me for it.
And well he should have been. His heart broken, he reached for her now.
Please, don't cry, Charisse. I swear I won't let anyone hurt you again.
Her cold look pierced him.
Why should I believe you?
Because I mean it.
He reached to brush away her tears, She cringed from his touch, and his stomach lurched. Please, don't do that to me. All he wanted was for her to smile at him the way she used to.
You ruined it just as you ruin everything. What do you want from me, Charisse?
She wiped angrily at her tears. I want nothing from you. I want nothing to do with you either. His throat tightened with unfamiliar sadness.
Very well, my precious.
He would leave her alone. But he would make sure no one else put a light of sadness in those celestial blue eyes. Nick did his best to conjure the room he'd seen his parents in. Nothing happened. He kept running the image over and over in his head, but with every second that passed, he lost hope. I can't do it. I am worthless. I can't even save my own mother. Cody rose up on her tiptoes and whispered in his ear.
I believe in you, Nick.
She tightened her hand on his. In that moment, a bright white light shot through his skull and exploded. When it did, it felt like a blitz tackle against his abdomen, one that lifted him off his feet and shot him toward the sky. One second, they were in his living room. In the next, they were at the end of Canal Street? Really? How could I have screwed this up? Scowling, Nick turned around in the center of the neutral ground where Convention Center Boulevard intersected Canal at the World Trade Center. Even worse, that gross, creepy Mardi Gras clown statue that was the stuff of horror movies and bad childhood memories stared right at him, mocking his incompetence. He'd always hated the Batman, Joker, lunatic smile it had. In daylight, it was disturbing. At night, with the shadowy lights on it,
hello, little boy, with your itty-bitty friends.
His mind created a demonic falsetto for the statue's voice.
Would you like to play with my shrunken head on a stick? Don't be afraid. He only wants a small bite of your flesh, and I only want your soul.
Yeah, what sicko had thought that was a great landmark when 90% of the population shared his clown phobia? Why are we here? Nick asked his friends as he eyeballed the jester, lest it move and do something evil, as all clowns eventually did. Caleb cursed in a low tone.
I should have thought of this place.
Nick was even more confused. Why? The ferry doesn't run this late, and the Riverwalk's been closed for hours.
No, not those.
Cody let go of his hand and checked her watch.
You think we can still get in?
She asked Caleb, who shrugged. Nick was getting really irritated. In where? Trouble? Sink? Between? They exchanged an amused look with his last guess.
You're warm, Caleb said, with an evil twist to his lips.
Yeah, that clown was definitely possessing him.
Le monde au-delà de voix, Cody said.
Nick scowled. The world behind the veil? She nodded. Why do you think they call this neutral ground? Because the Creoles in the quarter, he pointed to the left side of the canal, and the Americans in uptown, he pointed right, couldn't stand each other, so they let weeds and crap grow up to be a barrier between the two parts of the city. Later, they started meeting here to do business and sell things. Since they were conducting a form of Cold War, they started calling all the medians where they met neutral ground.
Yeah, you keep on believing the lies our kind feed to the humans.
Caleb clapped his hand against Nick's shoulder.
Haven't you ever wondered about the Spanish plaza behind this place?
Was he on demon crack? No, not really. Other than it was a cool place to get my feet wet when I was a kid. Cody jumped in on Caleb's lunacy. Ever notice that from high up, the fountain in the center of it and its surrounding area bears a scary resemblance to a Zibalba round? Right down to the way it lays with the river? No, but that has a lot to do with the fact that I don't know what or who Zibalba is.
Mayan underworld, Cody explained. The word itself means place of fear, and all over the world, there are doorways from this world to others, doorways we can use to access alternate places.
Nick glanced up at the sinister statue.
Well, that explains Mr. Creepy Clown being here, doesn't it?
A slow smile curled one side of Caleb's mouth as he let out a low, evil laugh.
This is gonna be some twisted fun.
Malthus, Cody snapped, don't you dare! Walking backwards, Caleb spread his arms wide and laughed.
I've got to. I can't resist. It's pulling me, Cody.
I can't stop. Caleb feigned great physical pain. Cody growled at Caleb before she took Nick's hand and pulled him after Caleb. Nick wanted to drag his feet, but he couldn't do that if this really would get him to his mother. Caleb began running, then launched himself straight up to the very narrow pedestal the clown stood on. Nick gaped at what had to be a 20-foot jump. Not to mention, Caleb had to balance on something about the size of a narrow 2x4. Forget quarterback, you ought to play running back. Ignoring him, Caleb reached to the smaller jester head on a stick that Nick had named Mr. Little Creepy. Nick curled his lip. Don't touch that thing, you're gonna get rabies or scabies or parvo or something. With another evil laugh, Caleb touched the head.
Get your finger out of my nose, Dave!
Cursing, Nick jumped 3 feet back as the statue came to life.
I knew it! Damn it all, I knew that thing was a minion of hell!
The jester went slack-jawed as he turned his head toward Caleb.
Please, tell me he isn't one of us. Hate to disappoint you, Sal.
The jester made a face of absolute agony.
How far demons have fallen that he can be counted among our family. Sad, sad day.
Sighing heavily, he shook his head. Then he glanced back to Caleb. I suppose you want in?
Yes, we do.
The jester held the small head out toward Caleb.
You know the cost of admission.
Caleb bit his finger, then allowed 9 drops of blood to fall into the smaller clown head. The jester tapped his heart with the little head, then waved it high above. As he moved it, the Riverwalk sign on the right flickered so fast that for a moment, Nick thought he was imagining things.
Thanks, Sal.
Caleb jumped down to land near Nick.
You ready?
For nightmares?
Sure.
We'll now have plenty of them, okay? Merci beaucoup.
Caleb snorted.
You're such a baby.
Yeah, right. I'm not the only person who doesn't like clowns, you know. Cody patted his shoulder in sympathy. Caleb ignored him. As they passed the giant Lafayette horse statue beside the trade center, Lafayette lifted his tricorn hat to them as his horse reared up on its pedestal. The statue rider jerked its reins, and it settled down.
Malthus,
he said in greeting. Caleb inclined his head to him.
Gilbert, good to see you.
Et toi, mon ami. Bonsoir.
A bientôt.
His jaw dropping, Nick blinked at Caleb.
I think I now know what it is you do when you're not with me. How much time do you spend here?
Apparently a lot. Caleb passed him an innocent stare.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Sure he didn't. Without another word, Caleb led them under the Riverwalk sign arch that Nick had gone through hundreds of times in his life. Normally, it led to the Spanish Plaza, where the humongous ornate fountain would be on the right and an oyster bar straight back. Tonight, the air seemed to shiver around them. And as they passed underneath the arch, a flash of light blinded Nick for the merest second. When he could see again, the plaza had a dome over it. Instead of being dark from night, an eerie green glow made it as bright as day, and the water in the fountain appeared to be blood.
What is this place?
He whispered to Cody.
Think of it like an amusement park and holding station. It's where demons who want to enter the human world can stay until they find a way in, or demons from our world can come and intermingle with non-humans in a relatively safe environment.
She gestured to what appeared to be a row of stores and a building that had strange music coming from it.
There's even a demon brothel and bar.
Great. It's also where the hell chasers hold their prisoners until they can hand them off to the right party. Caleb slowed his pace as they neared a man with short brown hair and greenish brown eyes. He wore brown arm guards with gold embroidery that started glowing at Caleb's approach.
Speak of the pain,
Caleb mumbled to Nick and Cody. Then, louder, he spoke to the man in front of them.
Tristan?
Tristan narrowed his eyes dangerously at Nick and Cody.
Who are your friends, Malphus?
Not your targets.
Yeah, Nick added. We're not the droids you're looking for.
Cody was aghast. Don't taunt the Hell Chaser, Nick. Most lack a sense of humor.
Without warning, Caleb banked left and headed through a set of glass doors that led to a long, narrow hallway.
All right, Nick, you're up.
Sniff out your parents.
Excuse me?
This is the Hall of Holding. If you saw them in a holding cell, it would most likely be one of these.
Nick slowed his pace. What is this, like demon death row?
No, more like intake.
That didn't make sense. Why would my parents be in here?
Caleb held his hands up and shrugged.
You're the one who led us here.
True.
He still had no idea who had taken his parents, never mind the why.
With a deep breath for courage, Nick summoned his powers and used them to probe the ether for a sign or signal. His ears grew warm as he finally located them. They really were here.
Thank you, God.
He grinned at his friends.
Got it.
Cody took his hand as Caleb touched his shoulder. Nick teleported them into the room, right in front of his father. The instant they appeared, the demons in the walls froze in shock, as did Nick's parents. Caleb clenched his shoulder so hard he bruised it.
Nick?
He enunciated each word slowly and with great irritation.
You forgot to tell us one itty-bitty important detail.
His grip tightened even more as he snarled quickly,
like the fact your parents are surrounded by thin walls holding back things that want to eat us.
As if they heard every word, the demons went on an attacking frenzy.
Baby?
His mother ran to him and grabbed him into a fierce hug.
Are you all right?
Fine. You? She slid her gaze to his father before she nodded. Nick turned slowly to face Adarian. This was the first time he'd stood beside his father since he'd been a child. Back then, his father had looked like a giant and had scared the bejesus out of him. Tonight, they stood eye to eye. And while his father still had him on body weight and muscle mass, he no longer intimidated Nick at all. And Adarian knew it. But the one thing that did disturb Nick was how much he favored his father in looks. The only thing different was their eye color. How his mother could ever look at him and not curse and beat him, he had no idea. He was a walking reminder every single day of her life of what his father had done to her when she'd been younger than he was now. And not once in 16 years of his life had she ever let Nick know it. In that one single heartbeat, the full capacity of her heart and love hit him so hard, he could barely breathe. And one day he, who had ruined her entire life by being born to her, would be the cause of her death. No wonder Ambrose went Malachi. Nick finally got it.
You are an idiot of the first magnitude,
his father growled.
I should have devoured you when you were born.
His mom turned to defend him, but Nick wouldn't let her. It's all right, Mom. He stepped around to block her from his father. I'm not a kid anymore, and I'm not afraid of him. His mother touched his shoulder.
I don't understand what's going on here, Nicky. Where are we? Why can't I leave?
Cody put her arms around his mother's shoulders and pulled her back.
Everything's fine, Mrs. Gaucher. It's just a bad dream, that's all.
Nick inclined his head to Cody, grateful for her support and strength. When he turned back to his father, he caught his father's unguarded expression as Adarian made sure Cody wasn't hurting his mother. The worthless bastard really did love his mother. But the love in his gaze turned to brutal hatred when he met Nick's eyes. Yeah, they were still at war with one another. No mistaking that look.
Have you any idea what you've done?
Adarian snarled at him.
They have us both.
and there's no way out of here.
That's not entirely true. Both Nick and his father looked at Cody. I don't have demon blood. I can open that door. But the problem we're going to have is that your mom is human. She's the Godiva chocolate to all the creatures hanging around here. When we get out, they will all be after her.
And Cody, Caleb interjected, doesn't have the passcode for this room, so when she opens the door, an alarm will sound and there's nothing we can do to stop it. The dampeners will come on and we won't be able to teleport. Our powers will be weakened. The only way back to the human realm is to get to the arch and run through it.
His father shoved at him.
You are so stupid.
Nick started for him, then stopped himself, for once. This wasn't the time and place for losing his temper, not while his mother and Cody were in danger. He glared at his sperm donor.
We are going to fight. One day, one of us will kill the other. That's a given. But today, we have something more important to fight for.
He passed a meaningful glance to his mother before turning back to Adarian.
Now, you can be the dick I know you are, or you can finally be the man my mother needs you to be.
You don't know who or what you're dealing with, boy.
His father went to poke a finger into Nick's shoulder. Nick grabbed it and shoved his father back. I'm dealing with a really old and pathetic, dying Malachi. And every second I'm here with you, you're getting weaker and sicker. Unfortunately, while I may have all the power, you have all the control of it. We need each other to get her out of here. So are we gonna fight each other and let everyone die? Are you gonna learn how to play on a team for once?
The expression on his father's face said that they were about to deathmatch.
Nick braced himself for the fight. His father sucked his breath in so hard that it sounded like a vicious roar, and as he did so, he grew in height until he was 20 feet tall. His skin changed from its normal tawny shade to a mixture of gold and black that swirled in a beautiful pattern. His eyes bright gold, Adarian opened his mouth, showing his fangs. Completely unimpressed, Nick gave him a cold, dry stare.
Are you trying to scare me? Doesn't work.
Caleb laughed.
Yeah, but put on a clown suit and he'll scream like a girl.
Bristling at his words, Cody cleared her throat.
You're not a girl, Cody.
She rolled her eyes.
Oh, stop while you're behind, Malphus.
Adarian took a step toward Nick's mother, then stopped. He glanced to Cody.
Open the door, girl. But once we're back in the human world,
his eyes glowed red as he pinned Nick with a murderous sneer.
I will kill you.
Bonne chance.
Nick covered his mother while Cody manifested a short recurve bow. Knocking an arrow, she aimed it for the wall.
Straight and true. One shot and we're through.
She winked at Nick, then turned around and placed her back to the wall. The moment her skin touched it, it swung open. She readied her bow while she held the door.
Go!
They ran for it, but as Caleb predicted, they didn't get far. Demons descended on them like park ants on sliced watermelon. Cody fired her bow while Caleb manifested his armor to fight. Nick used his fire bombs to attack them. His father tore the thronging demons apart with his bare hands. Nick paused as he watched his father fighting. It would be impressive if it wasn't so terrifying. Step by slow, excruciating step, they made their way down the hall toward the entrance. Nick kept his mother between him and Cody, and just when they thought they might make it, his father slipped and fell to his knees. Adarian tried to stand, then fell again. What was wrong with the elder demon? His father looked straight at him. Nick sucked his breath in hard at the sight of his face. His features were hollow and pale, gaunt. A thick blanket of sweat covered him. Nick was weakening his father a lot faster than he'd have thought possible. Guilt stabbed him hard. Without thinking, he reached to help his father up. Adarian bit at him and hissed,
"Don't touch me!"
"You'll weaken him even faster,"
Cody warned. Nick put more distance between them. As they reached the front room of the hall, a shadow shot out of the wall. Before anyone could identify it, it grabbed his mother.
He lunged to stop it and missed. Adarian didn't. He grabbed the demon by the throat and brought it down. Nick grabbed his mother and moved even faster for the door. Just as he reached it, his mother was torn from his arms. Mom! But it was too late. The demon had taken flight with her. Nick shot out his wings and launched himself toward them, then slammed into the wall. He cursed at the pain that tore through his entire body. He so did not have the hang of this. But man, his father did. He watched as Adarian put his head down and streamlined his drag coefficient so that he moved like a bullet. He and the demon rolled and fought in the air. Taking advantage of their inattention, Nick placed his mother's hand in the crook of his elbow and kicked open the door. Not much farther. Yet as they descended down the steps, he came face to face with the wolf who'd freed him from Helheim. Blocking their escape, the wolf growled and snapped.
What are you doing? Nick asked it.
I cannot let you pass this time. Not after I freed you. The human is my charge, and I must keep her here.
Nick shook his head.
Let us pass.
I cannot.
You can.
And you will.
The wolf launched at his throat. Nick ducked and twisted away while Cody moved in to protect his mother for him. Walking backwards to put more distance between him and the women, Nick prepared himself for another attack.
Zavid!
The masculine shout rang out. The wolf hesitated. Then he lunged at Nick, only to have an arrow land right in front of him.
Zavid! Surrender yourself or you will be executed!
The wolf turned and snarled, finally giving Nick a look at who was after him. It was Caleb's friend, Tristan. He knocked another arrow and aimed it for the wolf. Nick started forward to keep Tristan from killing Zavid, but Caleb grabbed his elbow and held him in place.
Let it go. The fight's between them.
I owe the wolf.
Caleb glanced sideways to where the women were waiting, yet still in danger.
Think of your mother.
Nick nodded. Caleb was right. His mother was much more important than the debt he owed Zavid. Shielding his mother, he made sure none of the demons came close to her. When they finally reached the arch, he let out a relieved breath a few more feet. Caleb went out first. Cody. And Nick was by his mother's side. He just put one foot under the arch when his mother cried out. A demon had her by the hair. Cursing, Nick grabbed the demon and twisted its hand until it let go of his mother. The demon fell back.
Malachi!
Nick jerked around at the same time his father did. The demon who'd shouted shot a lightning blast at his mother. Acting on pure instinct, Nick threw himself in front of her and wrapped his body around hers so that the blast would strike him instead. It didn't. Confused, he waited several heartbeats for that impact, then he looked up. The demon who'd shot at her was pinned to a wall high above the floor. Nick glanced to Caleb, expecting it to have been his kill, but Caleb stood completely slack-jawed, as did Cody. Even more baffled, Nick had a bad feeling settled deep in his stomach. He turned ever so slowly to see his father on the ground with a huge, smoking hole in his side.
No. It couldn't be.
With sharp, jerking breaths, his father reached for him.
Here, boy,
he snarled. I'm not a dog, but Nick obeyed anyway.
Why?
Adarian curled his lip.
I weep at your conception.
Then his gaze went past Nick to his mother and softened instantly.
What I give to you, I give for her protection. You hear me? Embrace your destiny, and let no harm touch your mother.
He grabbed Nick's head and jerked him close. Nick felt something hot and piercing slash through him. It burned and twisted as if it were alive. Agony exploded in his skull. Unable to see, hear, or smell, he fell forward and still the pain worsened. Crying out, he wanted it to stop, but it wouldn't. It didn't even lessen. Out of nowhere, a pair of arms wrapped around his waist and held him. From the awful buzzing, he heard Cody's voice lulling him.
Drink this,
she whispered, holding something to his lips.
It'll help, I promise.
Nick gulped at it, but still the pain persisted. With one last roar, his father released him. Nick fell back into Cody's arms. Dizzy and nauseated, he couldn't breathe. It hurt so much. Nick met Caleb's frown. By the expression on his friend's face, he knew he must be fugly. His gaze went to his father, who was now nothing more than a dark stain on the floor. There was no blood, no dust, nothing to say the elder Malachi had ever lived. A tremor of fear went through Nick. Would that be his fate one day?
Nick!
He jerked toward his mother to see a demon trying to carry her off. With a hiss, he launched himself at the beast and caught it about the middle. The demon fell back. Nick went for its throat and would have ripped it out had Caleb not stopped him.
Your mother.
Nick nodded. Picking her up, he unfurled his wings and flew her to the arch, then through it. Only when he was back on neutral ground did he stop to look back for the others. Caleb and Cody were right behind him. Doubling over to catch his breath, Caleb coughed and coughed. Cody let go of her bow as it vanished into thin air. Nick glanced down to see his mother sleeping in his arms. He tucked his wings in and frowned.
Why is she asleep?
She's human.
Caleb wiped at the sweat on his brow.
She won't remember any part of being on the other side.
Humans can't.
That made him feel better.
Caleb shook his head incredulously.
I can't believe your father died for you. That he sacrificed himself for your mother.
You're free now,
Cody said to Caleb.
Caleb snorted in derision.
I wish.
Nick inherited me.
Can I release you?
Nick asked.
Only if you kill me, and for now, I'd rather you not.
Hissing, Nick grimaced as a sudden pain sliced through his arm.
You're wounded.
Caleb took Nick's mother from him.
You need to tend that.
He nodded as he finally saw what appeared to be a violent gash in his bicep.
Thank you. Both. I couldn't have done this without you.
Cody smiled.
Anytime, sweetie.
Caleb inclined his head to Nick's slumbering mother.
Let's get you two home.
They crossed the empty, silent street. At 3 a.m., there was almost no one out as they trudged toward home.
Hey, guys? Cody asked. Why are we walking? You know we can flash ourselves home, right?
Nick started laughing as the ludicrousness of his life hit him.
I'm still not used to all this.
Caleb snorted.
In my defense, I'm too tired to think straight.
Intending to flash out, they paused in front of the parking deck at Canal Place. Before Nick could move, the sound of an animal in pain cut through the silence. A bad feeling went through him. He started forward.
Leave it,
Caleb snapped. He couldn't. Not when he heard the ferocity of the fight. Bending his head down, he ran to help. Nick skidded to a halt just past the gate where Tristan had Zavid cornered against the wall and had an arrow trained on him.
Put it on,
Tristan snapped. Nick had no idea what Tristan wanted Zavid to do, but he wasn't about to let him suffer anymore, not after the wolf had been through so much. Tristan let fly his arrow. Nick threw his hand out and used his powers to deflect it. To his immediate shock, it actually worked. That was a first. Tristan turned on him with a snarl.
What have you done?
I can't let you murder him.
By the man's expression, it was obvious Tristan wanted to plant that bow somewhere special on Nick's body.
Am I too late? Caleb asked as he joined them. Did he do something stupid?
Yeah, on both counts.
With angry strides, Tristan stalked past Nick.
What is wrong with you two?
Nick went to Zavid, who leaned against the wall. His breathing labored. He wasn't moving at all. Caleb sucked his breath in harshly between his teeth.
You didn't save his life. Please say you didn't.
No, I just kept Tristan from shooting him.
Caleb let fly a curse so foul that Nick recoiled from it. Nick scowled. What is your problem? Caleb glared at him with a fury he couldn't begin to fathom.
You wanted to know how your father enslaved me?
He saved my life, Nick.
That's how it works. When a Malachi spares the life of any demon, he becomes their master until the day he dies. It's another reason we all hate your kind.
Nick couldn't breathe as that news floored him.
Why didn't you tell me that?
Because I never thought you'd be this stupid.
Well, you ought to know me better than that, shouldn't you?
Nick's gaze went past Caleb to Cody, who appeared as sick as he felt.
Stop fighting, you two, she said. There's nothing more to be done. We survived tonight. We should all be grateful. Now, you can do what you want, but I'm getting Charisse home, and then I'm gonna soak in a nice hot bath until dawn.
She vanished. Caleb closed the distance between them.
I'm going. But before I do, I want to leave you with this thought. Your father is dead and is no longer a threat to you, but you still don't have all of his powers. That drink Cody gave you was a binding potion, and it'll help shield you from those who will now be gunning for you. But it isn't permanent, and it can be broken, intentionally or by accident. But the most important thing for you to digest is that we don't know who kidnapped you or your parents. If your father knew, he took it with him to the great beyond, and your mother will never remember. Which meant there was a truly scary enemy out there who knew he was the Malachi. An enemy who knew who his mother was.
Crap.
Caleb turned and walked away, leaving Nick alone with Zavid, who had transformed into his human body. Zavid glared at him.
You should have let him kill me, Malachi.
You don't mean that. Come on, let me take you home and get you cleaned up.
I am not a pet,
Zavid growled ferociously.
And I'm not a master, I just wanted to help.
Zavid scowled as if he didn't understand the language Nick was speaking.
Is that all you wanted?
Honestly? I would give any and everything to have a normal, average life.
Sighing in disgust, Nick helped Zavid up, and then he flashed them to his condo, where Cody had already put his mother to bed. Nick showed Zavid how to work the shower, then left him to it. Exhausted and concerned about the things Caleb had named, he joined Cody in the living room and pulled her into his arms. He pressed his forehead against hers.
Are we good, or are we enemies?
He asked her, needing to know where they stood.
We will only be enemies if you make it so.
Friends could kill as fast as enemies. She didn't say those words, but he was learning to catch those underlying loopholes. Wanting to trust her, but afraid of what might happen if he did, he kissed her.
I'll see you tomorrow. Are you sure?
He nodded.
We'll try to sort some of this out when I'm not so tired and dizzy.
Cody kissed his cheek.
All right. Sleep tight. Don't let the hellhound bite.
You are not funny. She wrinkled her nose at him, then touched his lips with her fingers.
Tomorrow, my Cajun. It'll be a whole new day.
And with that, she stepped back and left him. Feeling older than Asheron, Nick stumbled into his bedroom and threw himself onto his bed. He wanted to stay awake and help Zavid acclimate to this world, but the moment his head touched the softness of his pillow, he was out. Yet, as he closed his eyes, there was a bright flash, followed by a light whisper.
Be careful what you wish for. You just might get it.
Epilogue.
Nick, honey, you're not really asleep, are you?
Nick blinked his eyes open as some loud song he didn't know made his ears ring. In fact, he was surrounded by all kinds of noise, like a party. What the? He lifted his head up from his folded arms to find himself not in the bed he'd fallen into, but at a prom? Scowling, he scanned the darkened room where his classmates were partying, hard. His jaw went slack, but what floored him most were the people sitting at the table with him. Caleb was to his right, but instead of the pretty boy jock he was supposed to be, Caleb was a bit heavyset and wore a retainer. Retainer? Was it a costume party of some kind? And Simi, who was wearing an understated pink frilly dress down to her ankles with a sweater buttoned up to her chin, held Caleb's hand. Demon Simi. Casey was beside him, wearing a pair of thick glasses and an outdated dress that looked like something from the 1980s. Is this a dream? It was too real for that, and yet... Nick, are you okay? You're looking a bit under the weather. No, he was definitely not okay. He felt like someone had just sucker-punched him as his gaze locked on a short, stubby geek whose eyes and hair were all too familiar. No, it couldn't be, could it? Don? He beamed. Yeah, buddy, should I call your dad to come get you? You don't look like you should be driving.
I can take him home.
Nick went cold at a voice he didn't want to recognize. No, 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 there was no way he was here. His stomach tight, Nick was terrified of where his nightmare would take him this time. Don't look. Don't. But it was like a train wreck. He couldn't help himself. He had to know. Stop! The moment he turned, he knew he'd died and gone to the real hell. That was the only plausible explanation that he could wrap his head around, the only explanation that made sense, because this was the freak fest of all time. It was Ash, 5 feet tall, with short brown hair and blue eyes, and in a pink tux. Nick laughed at something that was a lot scarier than it was funny. But he didn't know what else to do except scream, and that might get him put in a straitjacket. Maybe I've already lost my mind. Yeah, that was a little more acceptable than his current nightmare. He swallowed hard, then returned his attention to Stone. Can I ask a weird question? If you must. Raking his hand through his hair, Nick tried to figure out why he was having this screwed up dream. What had he eaten? But for now, he had no choice except to ride this horror out. What's my dad's name? They all laughed. Yeah, so not funny. He forced himself not to insult them for the ridicule. Come on, guys, just play along and answer the question. Ash snorted, then answered in a nasal tone.
You know your dad, Nick. Michael Burdett. He's an accountant who works with Caleb's father.
Caleb had a dad, too? Sure. Why now? And fat flying fairies made Nick's clothes every night and left them for him in the bathroom. Nick arched a brow at Caleb. And your father would be...
What is your problem, Nick? You know my dad is your dad's best friend and has been since forever. Caleb Fingerman, hello, Marks, my dad.
Nick started laughing and laughing. He couldn't stop. Yeah, this was all insane.
Okay. Joke's over, everyone. Ha ha, you got me.
What joke? Ash, Caleb, and Stone asked, while the women looked at him as if he was the one who was nuts. Unable to deal with it anymore, Nick rose to his feet and curled his lip.
You know, for a joke to work, it actually needs to be funny, and this is not even a little.
Angry at them, he stormed off to the bathroom to splash water on his face and wake up. Something had to get him out of this hell and back home. But the moment Nick looked into the bathroom mirror, he froze in absolute horror. Not only was he in an ugly blue tuxedo that he'd never wear, his hair was blonde, and his eyes were an average gray color. I'm short? His heart pounding, he checked his legs to make sure they were intact. They were. And yet, he was only 5'8". No, more than that, his powers were all gone. Every last one of them. He had nothing. Nick gaped at the face he saw in the mirror that wasn't his. He pinched himself and shook his head. It was him. Somehow he'd morphed into a short, blonde dude. Unable to accept it, he tried everything he could to wake up. It's not a dream. Somehow, this was real. Madog walked in and sneered at him. No longer skinny and nerdy, he was 6'4" and ripped.
What are you looking at, Burdette?
Burdette? Nick repeated, looking around for Bubba. Madog shoved him.
Nick Burdette? Can't you even recognize your own name?
He rolled his eyes. Damn, boy, how dumb are you? He went over to a urinal. Stunned, confused, and horrified, Nick stumbled out to the prom that was filled with people he knew but didn't recognize. Reaching for something, anything, to prove this wasn't happening, he pulled his wallet out and checked his license. It was the new blonde him in the photo, but what hit him like a kick in the crotch was the name. Nicholas Michael Burdette. What the hell has happened? And more important, how could he undo it when he no longer had any power and his allies were now woefully normal?
This is Halter Graham. We hope you've enjoyed this production of Inferno by Sherilyn Kenyon. This program was produced by Scott Sherritt. Executive producer, Laura Wilson. Recorded by Jeff Malinowski. Post-production by Danny Meltzer. Text copyright 2013 by Sherilyn Kenyon. Production copyright 2013 by Macmillan Audio. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.